This is CliffCentral.com.
An amazing song to start today's show with. I'm Sharon Dale and you're listening to Animal Central. Now today we're dedicating this show to Cecil the Lion, a very, very special dedication, but not only to Cecil, to all the animals that have been hunted on our continent, all the animals that have been murdered, should I say, but that's my personal opinion. Now, for those who don't know the story of Cecil, Cecil was killed in early July after an American dentist actually paid a local safari company $55,000, which is about 50,000 euros, to wound this beautiful lion with a bow and arrow and then track him mercilessly for 40 hours in pain and agony before finally killing him with a rifle. Now, this hunt provided, it provoked worldwide outrage when it emerged that Cecil was actually a well-known attraction to visitors to Zimbabwe's Hungwe National Park and was in fact wearing a tracking collar as part of an Oxford University research product. However, you know, Cecil wasn't the first lion to be savagely killed by hunters, nor will he be the last, unless the world stands together to protect our wildlife and outlaw hunting as a recreational sport for the wealthy people of the world who can do it. Now, today my guests in studio are Drew Abramson. She is from Exclusive Safaris and Captured in Africa, who's going to give us an update on Cecil's brother Jericho and Cecil's cubs. And we will also discuss the wonderful movie called Bloodlines that's just come out. Then we've got Linda Park, who's been with us before. Linda is from Campaign Against Canned Lion Hunting. And finally, we have the amazing Ainsley Hay. She's also been a regular guest. She's from the NSPCA Wildlife Division. Welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Hi.
It's actually a pleasure having you all here today, because I think it's important for people to find out exactly what the situation is. And our sentient beings in Africa are being killed for money. And I think Cecil's death, although a tragedy, has finally woken up the world to what is actually happening out there. And I just hope that the momentum stays there, that it doesn't die out in a couple of months and followed by something else. So, Drew, let's start with you. I know a lot of people, and we've got a lot of international listeners today, who want to find out. Tell us about Cecil. He had cubs. He's got a brother, Jericho. What is the status on Jericho?
Jericho and Cecil weren't actually brothers.
Oh, okay.
They were... Can I take it off?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm listening to myself.
Oh,
and
sure.
It's like quite off-putting. They weren't actually brothers. Cecil's brother was killed by another male that came into his territory. And about 2 weeks later, he then killed this male that had come in. And after that, shortly after that, Cecil and Jericho formed a coalition.
Oh, okay.
And from there, they were together ever since.
Yeah. Now Cecil had cubs. Where's the mom?
Well, the pride is still there.
Okay.
And they all well. There's three females and there are seven cubs. A media report went out a few days ago with regards to one of the cubs being killed, which is in fact incorrect.
Yes.
All seven cubs are fine. The one cub, there were eight cubs born into the pride.
Mm.
Before Cecil was killed, the one cub disappeared. It could have been another predator. They don't know. It happens all the time.
Right,
cubs get killed sort of... I think 1 to 2 cubs per pride will make it to adulthood. So it could have been a hyena, leopard, anything like that. So all the cubs are still fine and the pride is still fine.
And now has Jericho replaced Cecil? in the pride?
Yes, he has. It would be an automatic thing. Mm. He won't. The cubs won't come to any harm at all with regards to him because they were born and he was there.
Yes.
I mean, you know, who's to say that he isn't the father of some of the cubs anyway?
Oh, right.
Because there is more than one female, he could have ended up mating with one of them.
So the cub's mother is still alive and well.
Yes, she is.
So she is there to protect them.
Yeah. And females are quite formidable in the wild. They're very capable of protecting. Obviously, they need the males for that extra protection.
Yes.
But you can't say that Jericho is not going to provide that.
Okay.
And even if something does happen, other lions do come into their territory and chase him off.
Yes.
Females are quite adept at keeping cubs out of danger. So it's a wild situation, which is, I think, got to be left.
Yes. Because, I mean, this whole outrage, I mean, if you look on social media, the groups that have been set up, we got a lot of publicity about the show on some of those groups. I mean, there's Justice for Cecil, all this kind of thing. But what actually gets me, and Linda, we'll talk about that just now, is that there seems to be more outrage internationally and not from South Africa.
Yeah.
I think our own president kind of laughed it off.
Yeah.
Robert Mugabe is actually taking a stand here, which, you know, thank you. He's at least trying to do something. But that is what saddens me, is we live in Africa. We need to protect our wildlife.
Definitely.
We need to ensure that they're there for our children one day. They are, you know, it's one of our national treasures.
Definitely.
It definitely is. So, Drew, what do you actually do?
A few things. I own a safaris company called Captured in Africa, which I started a few years ago to try and create as much awareness for big cats throughout Africa as possible. And the reason why I started that is because I'm involved in a lot of rescues of lions from breeding farms. Throughout the country, and I also get calls from Egypt, Spain, some of the European countries to bring cubs that have been in abusive situations over there back to sanctuaries here in South Africa. So Captured in Africa was started to get as much word out there as possible to give back as much as possible.
Right.
It's a big thing for me.
Absolutely. Now, Linda, turning to you, Campaign Against Canned Lion Hunting, what is it that you guys do?
Campaign Against Canned Lion Hunting was started by Chris Mercer and Bev Pervan probably 15, 16 years ago. It's an NGO. And they've been pretty much fighting in the wilderness against canned hunting. I became involved with them. I've been doing lion work off my own bat for a number of years, and I became involved with them last year as a director. And so what we are is lobbying for change, and we've realized, you actually mentioned our president's statement about Cecil, that change is not going to happen internally. It's got to happen from the outside.
Right.
So we've been doing a lot of lobbying with Australia, the European Union, in the States. We have groups going for pressure to bring change here. And that has happened with some of the airlines that have now refused to bring trophies into the country. Australia being the first one who introduced a ban. So it's a case of keeping up the pressure, keeping up the awareness, and particularly now with Cecil, who's been the catalyst for me for change. He's lit a fire. And some people have said to me, but he's just one lion. Why is there all this issue about one lion? He's not just one lion. He's representative of everything that's actually wrong in the hunting industry, everything that's wrong in conservation. And for me, even symbolizes everything that's wrong in the world at this time with regards to animal rights.
Absolutely.
So I think it's been kind of the 100th monkey syndrome. Cecil was just pushed people over the edge. And people have, and funnily enough, yes, most of the outrage started overseas and then picked up here, but yes, overseas was first. So all I can say is God bless Cecil, because, you know, can one line make a difference? Yes, I think he can.
I can already see it. I mean, as I was saying on social media, this, I won't call him a gentleman, the Walter Palmer, if you look at the protests out of his dental surgery, if you look at the Facebook, I mean, there's even a Facebook wall called A Million Likes Against Walter Palmer. This man is apparently still in hiding. And I see a lot of these groups are now sort of weeding out these other people that are well-known hunters that are posing proudly with a dead giraffe, with a dead leopard. And Cecil's destiny was to have his head cut off and mounted on this wealthy man's wall in his mansion, which I don't get. This is my personal opinion. I don't see how anyone can shoot a living creature, a wild animal, at point-blank range. It's got no defense. And put it up on their wall. To me, that's psychopathic. I'm probably going to get a bit of flack from that, but to me, that's a psychopath. And is it not a short hop, skip, and jump away from having those same tendencies towards human beings?
Well, there has been quite a bit written. Gareth Patterson actually wrote a very good article about some research that had been done, finding the similarities between trophy hunters. Now, I make the distinction trophy hunter as opposed to hunters for the pot. Right. Trophy hunters and serial killers, and there are a lot of similarities.
Really?
Yes.
That is scary. That is scary. Now, Ainsley, you are here from the NSPCA Wildlife Division. What is the SPCA's involvement been here? What is your, you know, take on this whole Cecil hunting matter?
It's absolutely appalling. We're very happy, though, that it's got the reaction that it has, because ultimately the reality is that they are a handful of very wealthy individuals. They have these hobbies, which are trophy hunting. And these hobbies affect everyone, because this is our heritage.
Yes.
These are our animals, and they are being killed for fun.
Right.
And the worst part, what we find the worst part, is that these people stand up and say it's for conservation.
Yes.
You cannot excuse this under conservation. I'm sorry. It's because you have a hobby that makes you feel the need to kill an animal and place it on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
Killing an animal is not preserving it or conserving it. It's this. At long last, we're hoping that this ruse will be blown, because it's absolute nonsense.
Yeah, because that's always the excuse, isn't
it?
It's for conservation.
And what sort of world are we living in when the only value a wild animal has is whether someone wants to kill it or not?
Right.
I'm sorry, but we find it absolutely appalling. Mm.
No, it is. And then coming back onto the whole canned lion industry, which is huge in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I mean, Linda, they've just brought out a movie called Bloodlines. That is blowing the lid on this whole canned lion industry. And these petting zoos, I did a little bit of research yesterday on these petting zoos, where people and tourists believe that these little cubs are going to go and live in a wildlife sanctuary when they grow up. Not true.
No, it's absolutely not true. There's so much con around that whole industry, around the captive breeding industry. The same thing as Andy says, they will tell you that what they do is for conservation.
Mm.
None of those lions will ever end up in the wild. So there's no conservation value to captive breeding whatsoever. The gullible public who go, and a lot of the tourists who come here, and we're going to go and walk with a lion or pet a lion, and they're told, you know, you're enriching this lion's life, and you're enabling it to learn to go back into the bush, and this is what's going to happen to it. And they believe it. They absolutely believe it. The fact of the matter is those lions can never be released into the wild. So you have to ask the question, there's cubs for petting 365 days of the year. Where do they go to from
after
there?
That.
Because there isn't place for them. Never mind that they can't go back into the wild. There isn't place for them either in the captive breeding facilities, because they're just breeding more and more and more. So if you actually take a step back and ask the question, what happens to all these bodies?
Yes.
You won't like the answer.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, if you look at the canned lion industry, these lions are drugged. They are tied up. They have no defense. They are shot.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. And I cannot understand how anyone could feel proud to murder an animal that is literally a sitting duck.
Yeah. And even worse than that are the conditions that the lions are held in. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, yes, the hunting is absolutely appalling, but there is inherent cruelty from every single step of the way, because this is a farming practice. These animals are intensively bred. Our inspectorate division is the only inspectorate division in the country in terms of animal welfare that does inspections at these facilities. And yes, we do inspections throughout the country. And the standards are generally, because it's farming now, so you're farming for profit. So that means if you can cut costs, you're going to increase profit. So the bare minimum is given in terms of housing enrichment. These cubs are removed from their mothers unnecessarily so that they can hand raise them, and then you can pay people to come and bottle feed them and cute and all of that. Then when they get to the age they're too dangerous to be played with, they're group housed in unsuitable social groupings because it's cheaper to house more animals in one cage. It's all the practices that you get in intensive farming, but these are wild animals, so they've got very different behavioral requirements, enrichment needs, and this is not provided.
No, it's
and
not.
Unfortunately, the problem that we have in South Africa is that our government is completely run by industry, without a doubt. They buy into whatever industry says. So because there is money behind the industry of the captive lion breeding, hunting, trading industry, they buy it. And that's just been proven again with the SAA Airlines. They came out and said, listen, we're not going to transport any endangered species trophies. Wonderful.
And then changed their minds.
And then they had a meeting with the Department of Environmental Affairs, and they went, oh, okay, sorry. We were joking. We're not going to do
it. I saw that. We're one of the few airlines that are actually transporting these trophies. Mm-hmm.
Whereas we've got international turnaround.
Right.
But South Africa just stands up again and lets the animals down.
But Ainsley, tell me this. Does government benefit from this canned lion hunting industry? Or is it money that goes into the pockets of a few private individuals? Do these people get taxed? How does that work?
Well, the government does get money from permits issued for these facilities. So in terms of finances, there is that kickback. But all of these, the hunting fraternity and the captive predator fraternity always say, oh, the money goes back to the communities, to the impoverished. Rubbish. Look at Cecil. So yes, it was an illegal hunt, but all that made it illegal was the fact that there wasn't a permit. This happens time and time again. These animals are hunted, spend 40 hours dying. This is commonplace in the hunting industry. Where did that money go?
Yes.
So the hunter, Walter Palmer, paid money. Where did that money go? It went into the private, the professional hunter's pocket and the landowner's pocket. It didn't go into Hwangi to assist the wild populations of lions. It didn't go anywhere into conservation. It is profit-based in that system.
Or to the community at
large.
I mean, there's tremendous poverty in Zimbabwe. The people don't benefit from this.
Just to add to that, a lot of communities surrounding reserves actually have a major issue with predators, especially like lion. There's a lot of human conflict, not really in South Africa, because all of our reserves are fenced.
Right.
So there is some sort of protection for the animal. I'm not going to really say for the people, because if the lion or the leopard get out, they will end up being shot, where they could easily be darted and relocated back into the reserve. It's the same manpower. It takes the same amount of time and funding. But in places like Botswana and Zimbabwe and further up North Africa, there are no fences surrounding the reserves. So there's a lot of conflict with predators. And many people in the communities are saying that they don't care about the lions and the leopards and all of that. If these guys are going in there and they're hunting and they're saying, oh, it's for conservation, and they're giving back to the community, why aren't they, the landowner, as well as the professional hunter, the trophy hunter that comes out from whichever country they come from, why don't they go into the communities and try and educate the people with regards to the need for wildlife? Predators, we get hundreds of thousands of tourists coming to Africa every single year
to see the wildlife.
If there are no lions and leopards and elephants and rhinos left, what are they going to be stuck with?
Exactly.
Where are they going to get the money? Another thing that they love saying is they are helping feed the community. What are they feeding them with? Mm. We don't eat lions and leopards here.
Mm-mm.
Our our restaurants don't stock lion burgers.
No.
The community surrounding the reserves don't eat lions. And in fact, they have a belief that if they eat the lion that has been killed, it will come back and haunt the...
Karma.
Exactly. Right. Karma.
Right.
So, you know, these guys that come out and trophy hunt these lions and leopards and everything, nothing happens to we know what happens to the body parts. They get used for muti, and it's kind of is supplying the lion bone trade, but that's a whole other issue. Linda will be able to explain. But they can't use that as an excuse anymore. It's just
There is no excuse. And I just want to say now, if anybody listening wants to ask any questions, you can call us on 0861-555-189 or send us a Twitter message on @cliffcentral.com. Or you can go onto Facebook, or you can also phone us on or message us via WeChat. Now, Linda, going back to this movie Bloodlines, what is this about?
Bloodlines is, it was actually one of the producers, Pippa Hankinson, from Durban. She went to a couple of these captive breeding places and was so horrified. I'm going back probably 3 or 4 years ago, so horrified at what she saw that she thought she had to do something. Mm. So she set about gathering, a group of people together to make this movie. Ian Meckler, who's kind of the star of the show in the movie, has also been fighting against canned hunting for 15, 16 years as well. And it really does, it's a very hard-hitting movie, and it absolutely blows the lid off the canned hunting industry. I defy anybody who's sitting on the fence on the issue
go and watch the movie.
To go and watch the movie and say canned hunting doesn't exist, or the captive breeding industry is okay, because you will come out of there, and if you don't feel sickened to the pit of your stomach, there's something really wrong with you.
And there's the challenge to every person who sees hunting as a hobby and an interesting pastime. Go watch the movie and see if you feel the same.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of hunters, that's what I've also been seeing, have been saying, okay, we're done. We're not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. We're trading in the gun for a camera.
That's it. There's actually a guy who's doing the rounds on Facebook at the moment. What's his name? Chris.
Yeah.
Chris somebody or other, isn't it? Mm. And he actually posted, and he did follow up pictures of himself going to the correct department, handing in his gun, dismantling it, handing his bullets
that's
over.
That's fantastic.
And saying that's it, he's not doing it anymore, which is fantastic.
That is fantastic. And the movie Bloodlines, is this internationally available? Only in South Africa? Has it been released yet?
There's been a few media screenings. We've got a screening on Friday at Fitz, which is sold out. Because that's been sold out, there's a second screening on Saturday the 15th, and that will be at the Rosebank Cinema. Booking online at Web Ticket, so people have to go onto Web Ticket and book there. I believe there are still a few seats left, so people need to hurry up and do that. After here, it goes down to Cape Town. So there's a couple of screenings in Cape Town. First two screenings, I think, already sold out there. There's another few local screenings, not up in Joburg. And then the idea is for it to go international on TV.
Oh, really?
So that's... The whole aim of the movie is not so much, here's the movie, that's the beginning and end of the whole thing. It's a tool to be used to actually break this industry.
For sure.
So it's being followed up with a lot of meetings politically here and elsewhere, meetings in Australia with the EU, meetings in the States. Botswana totally on board. Botswana's Minister of Environmental Affairs, TK Khama, he's actually in the movie. And has offered whatever help he can give.
Fantastic.
He's very, very outspoken about the industry. So it's not here's the movie and that's the end. It's a step in the right direction.
Sure. And I think one of the other things that I've picked up is a lot of well-known people, a lot of celebrities like Ricky Gervais, who's always very vocal.
I mean,
sometimes your ears bleed when you hear what he has to say. He puts it straight out there. he's been one of the celebrities. I read an article saying, is it Prince William who's now wanting to destroy all the ivory? And he's standing up against this. So worldwide, this has really made people sit up and think. But I want to find out, Ainsley, what are the laws? What is the NSPCA looking for? Can you go into a resort or whatever that you know is doing canned lion hunting, and you investigate? Can you shut them down? Is there a law against it in South Africa?
Unfortunately not. The Animals Protection Act does apply to any type of animal. The problem that we have with the methods used in hunting, so these methods are not humane generally. The animals are not, if you look at your acceptable slaughter methods for production animals, so the animals that we eat, it's very strictly monitored, it's very strictly regulated, and there are methods to ensure that the animals are rendered insensible prior to the slaughter. So that means stunning, or there's various methods before the animals are slaughtered. The problem that we have with your captive wildlife industry and some of the hunting practices is that these animals essentially are being slaughtered. They're farmed animals that are now being slaughtered. There's no regulations or anything controlling the slaughter methods. You get gung-ho people who whip out their bow and arrow, who don't actually know how to use a bow and arrow. They shoot the animal incorrectly. It spends an inordinate amount of time dying. Even with a lot of your normal hunting placement shots, the shot is actually placed in the lungs, or you're aiming for the aorta. So it's very rarely a direct hit. So often these animals actually choke on their own blood. So it is deemed an inhumane slaughter method. Whenever we've tried to prosecute hunting methods, we tried to prosecute a human doctor who shot a very tame lioness off of the back of a bucky with a bow and arrow in the Free State. We tried to prosecute, and the courts just came back and said it's hunting. It's legal. It's allowed. It's a hunting method. So it's very difficult for us when you've got an ingrained, entrenched practice like this, even though there's extremely cruel things going on, when we don't get buy-in from our courts.
So you can only, your hands are a bit tied. You can only go to these places and have a look how they are kept to get an abuse or animal cruelty case against them, but not the actual killing. It's perfectly legal in our country.
Yes. And you can kill any animal. It's just the manner. But unfortunately, the problem we have in enforcing the manner when the animals are hunted is that the courts say that it's a standard hunting practice.
I just wonder when humans decided that animals were there to be abused, killed, done with, whatever we feel like doing. And we had someone in the studio a few weeks ago who said, but the Bible says that we have dominion over animals. Sure, but does that not mean that we have the task to protect them?
Responsibility.
And the responsibility to ensure that these sentient beings, because they are sentient beings, they feel pain, they feel hurt, they feel, you know, that stress that they have to go through.
They mourn as well.
They mourn.
There's so many, you see so many clips of, like in the movie Bloodlines, and it's all over the internet, and there's one in particular of a female on one side of the fence and her cubs on the other. Mm. And they just shoot the female. And the cubs are now on the other side of the fence, completely distraught at what's going on. So you can't turn around and say that they are just animals and they're completely oblivious as to what's going on.
No. Because that's really, that just makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. And, you know, a lot of people also argue the fact, and they say, but hold on a second. You know, everybody's more interested in a lion that was shot when human beings are suffering. And you go, yes, okay, but doesn't that whole picture tie in? If we can't care for our animals, how can we care for our human beings? And I always get this wrong, so please forgive me. It's a quote from Gandhi, if someone knows it better than I do. You know, how you treat animals defines you as a nation. And that is the bottom line here, that we actually need to say, if we are good and treat everything with respect, whether it's a human being or an animal, you know, that is what it's about. That's the way to change this world we live in. Because
people are very passionate out there at the moment.
Very much so.
And it's fantastic to see, and it's quite heartwarming. But there's also a lot of anger, I think. And the line gets blurred really quickly. Because now, for example, there's because there's so much, there's such a big spotlight on Hwangi at the moment, and the lions and everything with the collaring, with the wild crew guys up there, they're very much in the spotlight. And now there's a wild male who's obviously way past his prime, but he is collared. And I'm not sure who it was has gone and taken a photo of him and put it on social media. But he's obviously thin. He's lost condition. He isn't with his pride anymore, and he's gone off. And this is what all animals do, even our domestic cats. If they get sick or too old, they will go off, find a little quiet spot, and just want to be by themselves and
pass away.
Exactly. Yes. But there's a huge outcry now with regards to those people saying, oh no, they need to now go and feed him, and they need to look after him, take him to a sanctuary.
This is a problem when well-meaning. There's a big difference between bona fide conservation and trophy hunting.
And it's difficult to explain.
The two must be differentiated, and you know, the professionals that work these reserves. Culling is a necessity. We fence our wild areas.
Is it really?
It is. Except elephants, they've interestingly done studies. If the area is large enough, you can actually manage an elephant population by limiting water sources and doing all sorts of other things. So that the scientific results are actually showing that that's more successful than culling. But generally, with your hoof stock and that, in terms of biodiversity, if you keep an area fenced, it has a carrying capacity. And if you exceed that carrying capacity, it has very bad effects for all of the animals. So if you have too many impala, they're going to eat all of the browse, and then all the other animals are going to starve. Okay. So they're knock-on effects. So, but there's a very big difference between culling and trophy hunting. I mean, you don't see, you know, there's no pride in culling. It's done by professionals. It's done in an organized fashion, in the most humane fashion. I think we must say, though, that one of the saddest things regarding the Cecil thing is that if only we had this outcry for the 27 elephant calves that were removed from Hwangi a couple of months ago. Those poor calves are suffering for a lot more than 40 hours. Right. Cecil suffered for 40 hours.
Aren't there still three there in the Burmese?
There's three, yes, but the 27 have gone to China, and those animals will suffer every single day of their lives. Yet if only we had the international outcry regarding those animals as well. Why only Cecil, you know? It's just, and Hwangi hasn't said anything about that. Robert Mugabe hasn't acknowledged it at all. And it's going to happen again. They're going to continue doing live captures and removals. And it's horrible to say, but, you know, it's a lot more suffering than just 40 hours. So well, our concern is
they have still got lion cubs sitting in cages there with those three elephants.
Exactly.
That they removed from the wild. And
for sale to
away
China.
From their pride to sell to China.
To do what with?
To be going to entertainment parks.
Yeah.
Entertainment parks. And their conditions are horrific over there.
I'm sure.
Are highly sentient beings. We've got a law in this country that blatantly stops the removal of calves from family groups because it is so traumatic. And there's such cruelty. With the Thule elephant case, we won that case. The cruelty was proven. We've got two other charges relating to elephants in elephant-back safaris. You know, the cruelty in these industries is inherent. The most important thing, if every single person who's showed outrage against Cecil can apply their outrage to every single wild animal.
Absolutely. That's why in the beginning I said Cecil was not the first and he won't be the last. And he's elephants, leopard, lion. I mean, I found something, and I don't know if I'm correct, if one of you ladies know better. They were saying that lions, there used to be 50 years ago, 200,000. There's only 15,000 left.
Yeah.
Leopards, even worse, there were 80,000, 23,000 left. Tigers, let's not even go there, but now there's only 3,000 tigers left. So now I read up a speech that Robert Mugabe made on Monday where he lashed out at foreigners, and he said they were destroying his country's wildlife and other natural resources, and that Zimbabwean authorities have now since launched a crackdown on illegal hunting. Is this just talk?
Well, you have to balance that. For me, yes, he's speaking out, but balance that against these elephants that have been sent to China, the babies that are still sitting in a Burma, with the lions that are sitting in a Burma. Balance that as well with every time he has a birthday celebration, they slaughter a whole lot of animals.
Right.
So is that an opportunity for him to speak out against the US who he always has issues with. Mm,
because this was a US hunter, right?
And gain political brownie points. Because you have to, if he is outraged, give him the benefit of the doubt. If he is outraged, that outrage has to apply across the board to all the wildlife. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And just because something's legal doesn't make it right.
No.
Because he's very much hiding behind the fact that, oh, the illegal activities are bad. Those elephant removals were legal in terms of the paperwork. Mm. It most certainly doesn't make it ethical or acceptable.
No, no. And it just, I mean, it turns one's stomach. But I mean, this Walter Palmer, he's taken the brunt of it now. As I said, the guy's in hiding. Apparently, they are calling for extradition of him. Yes. But apparently, no one can find him.
I doubt very much whether they'll extradite him to Zim.
We'll see.
I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. At least there's attempts to do it, because the law is the law, and certain people should not be above the law.
And do you agree with people, some of them, they're going, die Palmer, and they're threatening his family.
No, I don't agree. It's extreme activism. It doesn't help anything.
When
something like this that happens, you need to be a little bit more proactive than that.
If you wouldn't say it to someone's face, don't say it online.
And it just creates a whole sort of ugly situation, and it almost fuels the hunting organizations, and they say, oh, look at those greenies, they're all crazy.
The bunny hunters. It discredits the message. It discredits the message.
And it doesn't make all the legitimate conservation organizations out there, it doesn't make their jobs any easier to try and actually then engage in sort of conversation that makes sense.
I mean, I've read some horrible curses, but on the other hand, there's another school of thought to say that if you are also a hunter, you now are going to kind of watch your back, because they are weeding them out, they are publicly shaming them, and does this not also help? It's controversial.
In our opinion, every single trophy hunt should be made available to the public. They should be fully aware of what animal is going to be hunted, because as we said, you know, this is their hobby, and it's so selfish for one person to kill an animal that hundreds could take enjoyment of from seeing or watching their progeny or their offspring. It's not something that should just be left up to the individual's selfish whims.
No.
And another thing is that if you go and trophy hunt a wild male, it's not only the male that you're killing, because then if it's a pride that only has one male, then the male is taken out the picture, the rest of the pride is left vulnerable to any other males that may come through the territory. If a male does come through the territory, they will obviously want to spread their genes, so they end up killing all the cubs along with the male that has been shot. Females will fight fiercely to protect the pride and to protect their cubs. A lot of the time there's casualties with regards to that. So a female or two may lose their lives as well. So for killing one male lion, you are in fact losing between, seven to 10.
Right.
So it's not one male. And if you consider that there are only about 3,000 males left throughout Africa.
Gosh.
That's not
3,000.
3,000 males.
Now, this is not in the wild, not in the captive breeding.
No, wild and captive are completely different. You can't put wild and captive lions together and you can't say, like in South Africa, for example, there's about 2,000 wild lion left in reserves and about 8,000 captive. But now what they are wanting to do is combine the numbers to make it, we have 10,000 lion and we don't have an issue. Our lion population is fine, when in fact you actually can't do that.
You can't. And now, Linda, these lion, how do you tell if you're an overseas tourist or somebody wants to go out and have fun with your family, you want to go to a lion park? How do you tell if this is a true lion sanctuary that are helping with conservation, or if this is in fact a canned lion breeding facility?
Well, for me, there's one thing that sticks out like a sore thumb is their breeding. And if there's breeding, it's not a sanctuary, because a sanctuary as recognized worldwide is a non-breeding facility. So there should be no breeding. You will not find any cubs there. You will only find adult animals. There's no handling, So there's no petting opportunities. There's no walking opportunities. And we actually have very, very few sanctuaries in this country.
Would there not be natural breeding at the sanctuaries?
No.
Any
sanctuary, there's you'll find talking about the lions, the males or either have been vasectomized or
really?
The females on contraceptives. There is no breeding.
Why?
Because you don't want to perpetuate numbers in captivity. Where these lions are, let's take Lions Rock as an example, in the Free State. So they've brought in lions from European zoo circuses, whatever, that have been in really bad conditions. You can't release those lions into the wild, but you don't want to increase numbers in captivity either. So best case scenario, those lions will live in a sanctuary, live out the rest of their lives, and they will die there. But the numbers will not increase, so there's no breeding going on. That is the definition of a sanctuary. So if you go somewhere and you're offered petting opportunities, walking opportunities, if there's any breeding going on, it's not a sanctuary.
Now that leads me to the Lion Park.
Yes.
I have to ask, they have petting, lion petting. I mean, so many people have gone there and you take these lovely pictures and it's very cute and all the rest. I think there's been a bit of controversy around that too.
Well, there was 60 Minutes, CBS 60 Minutes did an expose in November last year. We did a protest outside there in March this year. Carte Blanche has just done an expose as well. We do have permits that they have sold into canned hunting. Mm. They will tell you they're not involved in canned hunting, and no, they're not, because it doesn't happen on that property. But lions have gone to people that do canned hunting. They also tell you that they love all their animals and they stay there forever. They have cubs 365 days of the year.
Where do they go?
There's no way that they can stay there. They'd be bursting out onto Malibongwe Drive and beyond.
Sure.
So, you know, one has to look at that and, as I've said before, ask questions. The numbers are not adding up. They are not adding up.
No, and as you were saying on your website, these little cubs are human playthings. Mm-hmm. That is what they breed for, to be photographed with the kids. This is all fun and nice. You go home to your comfortable home and those little babies, you know, carry on to live in, you know, they suffer and eventually they get murdered.
Mm-hmm. And the suffering for them during that whole petting cycle as well is immense, because if anyone has a cat, for instance, you know how many hours in a day a cat sleeps? Mm-hmm. Kittens, even more. Yeah. They sleep all
it's
the
stressful.
Time. So these cubs are not allowed to sleep because they're being pawed all the time. Mm-hmm. So you've got all this.
And it's the different smells.
The different smells, the different energies and whatever. And the stress that they go through, never mind that they've been taken from their mothers. And I've been in some of these places where you actually can hear the mothers and the cubs calling to one another.
Yes.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yes, it's
really heartbreaking. So they've got that stress that they want to be with their mother and they're not. They're not with their pride at all. And then they have the stress of all these people, some of whom are, well, the energy from them is just, it's horrendous. And they don't sleep. They're not allowed to sleep.
You know, I always say you need to put yourself almost in that animal's body and think, how would it be for you? Mm. It turns one's stomach. It's just total abuse and total cruelty, and we don't have the right to do it. We really don't.
Another thing is, with regards to the whole captive breeding and cub petting and lion walks and stuff like that, all you need to do is look at the pictures of the people going on the walks with the sub-adult lions. I think the walking age cutoff is 2 for a lion. It should be a lot less than that if it is going to happen, which it shouldn't. But they give all of the people that go walking with these lions sticks. Now, you need to ask yourself, why are they walking with sticks? Mm. It's because out of the public eye, that is the way that they
are
controlling the lions.
So they get beaten.
As soon as you pick it, I picked up a male who had reached his walking point to take him to a sanctuary, and the condition of him was absolutely shocking. It was just, he was skeletal. It was ribs and bones. And for about 2 to 3 weeks, we actually thought that he was going to die. He came right. But after that, if you walk past his enclosure and bend down and pick up a stick or walk past with an umbrella or any sort of long, long looking thing, he would get highly aggressive and charge at the fence. And you just need to ask. Exactly. That's fear.
That's a fear reaction, fear aggression.
Totally.
So let's now get to the point where people who are listening, what can they do? How can they help? Except, you know, aside from the obvious, do not hunt, do not visit lion petting facilities. Is there anything else they can do, donations or anything like that, Drew?
I think the one thing that they need to do, especially the international people who get quite frustrated because they want to do something sort of and help and they're not here so they can't do it, is to, they need to lobby their various government wildlife organizations to try and get bans put in place with regards to the importation of the various trophies. Because then that makes, I think, the trophy hunters' lives a little bit more difficult, because the reason they're trophy hunters is because they want the head on the wall or the carpet or whatever the case may be. And if the bans are in place, they won't be able to do that. So that need for them, I don't know, I think, like Linda said a little bit earlier, it's a little bit psychopathic. Maybe the need will still be there, but the opportunity won't be there. So they definitely need to contact their government organizations. Another thing, there's a lot of organizations who are doing fantastic work on the ground with regards to dealing with human-wildlife conflict. Putting up bomas, sorting out lights to try and protect the communities, the livestock, as well as the lions. I would suggest that money goes to organizations like that, but you need to do your homework, because I think there's lots of people out there who are jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, making money out of this situation.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. There's a lot of petitions going around, whether they work or not. I don't know. But sign them. Let's see.
Exactly. Sign them. There's a great petition doing the rounds that the White House has apparently released. And I think a lot of people are signing those.
Jumping onto that.
Every little bit helps.
It does.
And it doesn't matter if you've been in this fight for 20 years or if you've been in it for 5 years or since, the 1st of July, which is when Cecil was hunted. The most important thing is that you actually stand up and you are making a noise and you are doing something, and carry on doing it because people are starting to take notice.
Cecil, as I said, is one lion who was hunted, but let's not forget him and what he stood for.
And be positive.
And be positive about it, and let's just get everybody
rallying together
because, this is very important. Ladies, thank you so much. I just want to end off today with talking about what I do. Aside from the show, is I do Canine Zone magazine, which does fight for the rights of our doggy friends. Canine Zone's next issue will be on shelves next week on the 17th, and as usual, we're going to have our heartbreaking and heartwarming, we always put in happy ending stories about dogs that have been rescued. We've got some wonderful advice. This is our Beagle edition, and it's got a wonderful story in about the Brits 10, which was a puppy mill. So head on down to Pick and Pay Spa, Woolworths or CNA, and if you are overseas, you can get us in digital format on www.magster.com. Please go onto our Facebook page called Canine Zone. We not only do we, tell you stories and let you know what's happening, but we also tell you what's coming up on this show every week. And this show does look at all animals, from dogs, lions, cats, you name it. Then I want to talk quickly about the movie Max. This is an amazing movie coming out in South Africa on the 18th of September. Max is a story of a precision-trained military dog who serves on the front lines of Afghanistan Afghanistan. Let's try that again. Luckily, I'm not a newsreader. Alongside his handler, U.S. Marine Kyle Wincott. Now, this is an amazing movie for the whole family. And the great part about this is that Animal Talk is hosting an exclusive national preview screening of this movie, so you can get to see it before anybody else. Screenings will take place on Thursday, the 10th of September, at Starkini Kor Christa Shopping Center, Johannesburg, Tiger Valley in Cape Town, and the Galleria Mall in Amanzimtoti, KZN. Your entrance fee is nothing but a donation, so dry food, tins of dog food, blankets, toys, treats, any canine-related products, and all donations are going to go to the BVFD Canine Search and Rescue Unit in Cape Town. So bookings are essential. You do need to pre-book. Please contact Claudia, C-L-A-U-D-I-A, at Panorama. So that's panorama.co.za by Monday, the 7th of September. Just remember, tickets on a first-come, first-served basis. So just ending off here today, I found a wonderful song by Toto called Africa. It has always brought to mind this wonderful continent that we live in, and the wonderful people and the wonderful animals. And I really believe that if we all just stood together and, you know, gave some thought to each other and to our sentient beings, we could really, really make a difference. And the only way is if we all stand together. We can all accept. Exactly. We could accept what's going on and get on with our own lives. But where's that going to get us at the end of the day? I just want to quickly, NSPCA side, how can people help you?
Donations. We're a completely non-profit organization, so donations are very sorely needed. As I said, we're the only organization working nationally that inspects wild animals in captivity. We have a special, my unit is specifically focused on this. And also a little note, today is actually World Elephant Day.
Oh, wonderful.
So if everyone can please spare a thought to all of the elephants suffering in captivity, and also make a pledge today to promise not to walk with lions, play with baby lions or pet lions, and also not to ride elephants, and the world will start being a better place just by those decisions.
Absolutely. And how would they do that? How do they donate? Off your website?
Off our website, www.nspca.co.za.
Perfect. Linda, from your side?
What I would suggest is people go onto our website, www.cannedlion.org, sign up for a newsletter. You can also donate to the campaign if you want, but the newsletters we do once a month, and it keeps you up to date with what is happening, what you can do, what's happening in your area with protests or marches or whatever. The same thing as Ainsley, please, if you don't go and pet cubs, don't go and walk with lions.
Don't do it.
Mm. And if you hear of friends that are wanting to do that, actually say to them, you know what, this is not such a good idea. Can I tell you why?
Education
because
is key.
Because people don't know any better. And if you each person speaks to one other person, we get the message there.
And isn't there a big march coming up, Linda?
There is Global March for Lions, Elephants and Rhinos. On the 4th of October. So there is a Global March website or a Facebook page which people can go onto, and you'll see your city. So all around the world, if you go onto that Global March Facebook page,
fantastic.
There is a link to the different cities where things are happening. And then also please follow Bloodlines. They have a Facebook page and a website, and if you're in Joburg and you can get to a screening on Saturday, go to WebTicket and book your tickets now.
Very important. And be interesting to see how many people turn out for this march internationally. I think it's going to be amazing. I really, really do. Ladies, thank you so much. My animal warriors that are here today, we say animal angels. There are so many animal angels around, and I truly, truly thank you for all you do for nature and for our wildlife. So we'll be back again next week, 11 to 12, or if you've missed the show or just tuned in, we are available on podcast anytime that suits you. Just go onto our website, www.cliffcentral.com. Look under Wednesday, Animal Central, and you can listen to all our past shows as well. So we'll be back next week with more exciting guests, interesting stories, and as I always say, go and please give your dogs and cats a big hug from me, and we're playing out with Toto's Africa. Bye for now.
whispers, only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
This is CliffCentral.com.